Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Sabe.
Hello, friends. Mike Airy. We'll see about that with the legend Ron Say. He shall be along shortly. He's actually on an assignment this week, so we're going to dip into some of the archives later in the show. But I'm joined with the Brain Trust. This is the senior CRN NFL analyst time here. I have Corey Marino and Jeremy Dayton. Gentlemen, how are you?
Pretty good.
Doing well.
We're glad to see you guys. So the Super Bowl is set. We saw the Chiefs sadly beat my Buffalo Bills, and it's going to be another Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. This is the one that no one wanted to see, but we're getting anyways. Your guys' thoughts about the divisional games and the Super Bowl preview?
I thought it was a good bunch of games. It was good two games. I was rooting for Commanders-Bills. I think the whole nation was. But I think the two best teams won. The Eagles by far have the best team, hands down, player to player, position to position in any of football, and the Chiefs have the best coach and the best quarterback, and you can't really beat that, as we've learned with Tom Brady and Belichick.
Yeah, I think I agree with all of that. What kind of there's kind of like, I don't want to call it envy, but I wish the Ravens at this period in time could be in the NFC.
Noted Baltimore Ravens fan Jeremy Dayton.
Yeah, because the Eagles are loaded with talent, and there just wasn't anybody ready enough to take them out. Obviously, the Commanders took out Detroit for them, but I don't think Detroit's defense was up to par to stop that offense either in Philly. So as much as I hate to root for Philly, I will be rooting for them in the Super Bowl. There's some personal things there, but I like a lot of the players. But I mean, you can't even – there's not even anyone – I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy on that fourth down call, which I think if it was Mahomes, they probably would have given it to him.
Yeah.
But
that fourth down you're talking about was a fourth down that they needed to extend the game. Josh Allen ran a sneak. It looked to me just based on the eye test that he got there, but the referees disagreed.
Yeah. I think if it was Mahomes, they give it to him. But I mean, you know, they ran that play how many times in that game? I mean, I don't know. Kellen Moore's getting a lot of praise and head coaching looks, but That one could be in the question.
Yeah, the only bright side, silver lining for me is I do think I like Saquon Barkley a lot. I think he's a great guy. I really like the way he carries himself. So it's going to be another Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl. So get your barbecue ready, get your cheesesteaks ready, get all your adult beverages. So it should be an interesting game. I'm very interested to see what the odds are with the over-under, what kind of scoring we're going to see. So very interesting. New Orleans, too, this year. So it's going to be interesting if the players can keep themselves, you know, on the leash.
I was at the last Super Bowl in New Orleans when the Ravens won and the power went out.
Oh, really? Oh, that was a great game. I remember that. Historic. All right, you guys, stick around. We'll be right back. We'll see about that with the legend at Ron Say. Stay with us.
It's time for the Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. And Brad, last week we talked about the broad look of the economy. What about the markets?
That's a great question, Ron. I wanted to first talk about how our markets are what we have as a typical greed versus fear cycle or a mentality as we approach the markets and investing, where people are conditioned to consistently buy on the way up. There's a fear of missing out. And what ends up happening is we're pushed to continue to invest through the highs of the markets. And then when those markets turn, we end up are conditioned to sell at the bottom. Wall Street, if you think about Wall Street, they're paid to make money as we buy on the way up and buy on the way down. So if you think through it, they just want you to buy stuff or sell stuff. So on the way up, it's buy, buy, buy. On the way down, it's sell, sell, sell. The real thing that people should be thinking about is switching to a risk versus opportunity mindset. What do I mean by that? If you think through the whole general idea of investing, is it not buy low, sell high?
Always.
All right. So if we're at market highs, mm-hmm. shouldn't that trigger or get you to think that we're at all-time high in terms of risk?
Got so, my attention.
Yeah, and so if we're at all-time highs versus risk, by the way, we're at 180-plus percent above the mean, which is above four standard deviations, above the mean, which is a once-in-a-43-year occurrence. Last time we were here was 2021, and 2022 we lost 20% in the S&P, 33% in the NASDAQ, and roughly 9% in the Dow. Are we going to lose money this year? I don't know. But my thought process for most people is to shift their thinking if they're getting close to retirement or in retirement to a risk versus opportunity mindset. At market highs, it's the highest levels of risk that you're taking, and you should be looking to protect and preserve your principal and your capital as opposed to continue to push, push, push for more, more, more. The idea is if you've won, stop playing the game. The only thing that you can do is lose money at that point, lose security. So the idea is, hey, protect at the highs, buy at the lows. Because eventually, you really do have to think through buy low, sell high. It's really, so what do we ask about the markets? I think it's still that same thing, optimism versus caution.
All right, thanks for that helpful advice, Brad. And that's it for today's version of Financial Coach's Corner.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we are back. We'll see about that. We're ready to start our second segment with our special guest, Edward James Olmos. And Eddie will be receiving a beautiful fruit gasket, courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud sponsor and partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. We have one of the more accomplished actors of my generation, who is 1 year older than I am, an Aquarian, who resided and grew up in East L.A. and had a brilliant career. And Eddie, welcome to the show, and I hope you've done your Christmas shopping. It looks like it. You got some new Dodger gear on there.
Oh, man, it was given to me, and I was so happy to get it. I'll tell you, it was an amazing, amazing year, and I was very fortunate in being able to go. And I didn't see the games because they were just too expensive for me. It just like my normal $200 seat ticket, which I think is expensive, ended up being like a $10,000 seat ticket. I said, whoa, thank you. I'll see you on the next turnaround. I'll watch it on television.
Yeah, I think that you're not alone in that feeling, you know, with what we've seen here in the last few years in particular, the way that it's escalated. You know, the year before, the Dodgers spent $1.4 billion in the open market, more than any other team and all teams combined. And this year, they are back at it, and we're not up to even the winter meetings yet. And they signed Blake Snell for another a huge contract with a $50 million bonus and others. I have to ask you, you just saw that baseball opened up its biggest pocketbook ever and signed Juan Soto to obscene money. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, basically, I love Juan. I love you know, the players right now have been really, really moving very well and extremely, extremely strong in all aspects. But I got to tell you, the difference with what's happening, which is really going to push the envelope in respects of, you know, seats and how much it's going to cost for a hot dog and a beer, and everything is just going through the roof. And like I said earlier, it's one time I would have gone to the World Series, you know, and watched the game. But, you know, people say, well, you get your free admission. No, man, they charge you double. They charge the people like myself, they charge you double. No, it's not true. But, what Juan, I think, is a really great, great ball player. But it's a different economy that Juan versus like for 65 million, something like that, that he got for 15 years, versus Otani, who got, I guess, 740 million for 10 years. The difference is that, you know, Otani is a superstar in respects of bringing in an entire nation. He brings an entire new group of viewers to the whole game. And not that they didn't watch baseball beforehand, but he really personifies and brought in an incredible amount of new attention to the ball game, where Juan Soto does too, but not the same way. Juan, I would consider, be more like Machado, Manny, or like Judge. They're brilliant players, and man, you want to see them play every time they play. But Otani was a superstar, and he got $740 million, and everybody went crazy. But I like the way he did his contract. His contract was explosive and good because he didn't take all the money. He just took $2 million a year for the full amount of time, and then the rest of it he gets at the end of the season when he finishes. And it's a heavy price to pay, but at the same time, boy, the Dodgers really made out this year, man. They made a lot of money with these guys, and especially with Otani doing a 50-50 player, you know, and the first time in the history of baseball. So I think that Soto, he's going to have a lot of work to do because, again, going to the full perspective of what a ball player is, it's defense and offense. His offense is really good. Otani's is really, really good. And his defense is good. And Otani's defense is very, very good. So I think he's the difference there is that, I guess the Mets really wanted to have a player that they could lean on, and I hope that they can lean on him, and I hope he doesn't fall short on his defense because he's got to practice, man. I'll tell you right now, he's got to practice. This is game. You know, I played this game when I was really young. I played this game a lot. I played it probably like Ron, you did, you know, in respects of playing it every day, and most players really understand the game by way of understanding that it's discipline that really controls the aspect of this game. And discipline, determination, of course, perseverance. You got to persevere your weakest points past them. And then the true ingredient is patience. And those four aspects is what really I contribute to my entire life. And I've learned that on the ball field playing baseball. I learned how to discipline myself to do the things I didn't like to do so that I would have the discipline to do the things I love to do when I didn't feel like doing them. And that made me really good. And I was young and I was good and I played for a long time and it helped me become who I am today.
You know, that's very astute, Eddie. I would have expected nothing less from a baseball fan like you. And I do agree that with your take on Soto, I think they paid well above what they needed to, but it was about the hype and it's about New York. And I agree with you about Otani and bringing in a new nation. You know, the Dodgers have of viewers. The Dodgers have you know started that stuff a long time ago with Hideo Nomo and Sanho Park. Yep.
Park.
We were waking up the other side of the world very early in the morning to watch Dodger baseball. And you're right. It's hard to compare. You know, when Otani pitches, and if he will pitch, that is where he is. That separates him from the rest of them. That's why he is the modern day Babe Ruth. I just hope that Juan Soto, staying in New York, he better be able to accept some of the booing that's going to come along with that contract. New York is not necessarily that kind when you don't perform. And you also know that it's almost, it is impossible for a player to earn that kind of money. It is what's in the pot. It's their share of it, and he's getting certainly his fair share. Generational wealth multiple times over. And, you know, I will say this, on the plus side of all of that, Juan Soto is probably the most disciplined hitter in baseball currently. He gets 100 walks a year. He does not offer in. He's much like Barry Bonds was back in the day when he was walking that 1 year, and I think it was 04. He walked 236 times, 100 and some were intentional. He didn't swing at anything bad. And that's kind of Juan Soto. He doesn't offer up at swinging at too many bad pitches, and he creates a lot of opportunities, which I like, and that's why on-base percentage is so important today. I do think it's going to be, it's. I don't know how the Mets got it done. I heard that the contract was potentially he could walk away in 5 years, and the Mets could stop him by offering $4 million more a year, which would basically confirm the rest of the contract. I'd be almost impossible for me to think that somebody would walk away and try to start over after that kind of money. That's $1 million a month, Eddie, for 15 years. That's incredible sum of money. We're going to have to be taking a break here. We're going to be back with our special guest, Edward James Olmos, right after this message.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we have returned after the break, and we are on with our special guest, Edward James Olmos. And Eddie, I want to get into your career a bit. I know that, you know, in the beginning, starting out, you played a little baseball, and it eventually turned to music, and you were in a band, and you were a keyboard specialist and whatever else, and the band was called Pacific Ocean, something like that?
That's right, yeah.
So
yeah,
tell me a little bit about how that started and how that basically led you into acting.
Yeah, that, you know, this is a story that I'm very grateful that I'm able to even have lived it. I've been living a privileged life since I was, you know, 5 years old, 4 years old, only because of the fact that I really started to do things I loved to do when I didn't feel like doing them. And that I said it earlier, and it started with baseball. And I contribute my entire understanding of my life to this game, only because of what it takes to play it. You have to play it every day. And you have to play it with a love and a passion that you had as a child, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. You're playing it with such love. There was no question as to why you're doing it. It was just fun, and you loved it with a passion. And that's how I lived my entire life since then. And what happened was, during when I was playing baseball, and I played it very well, I did got to a point where I had a really good coach. The manager of my little league team at Grant Ray Park in Montebello was Tony Parra. And he had a coach that his name was Rick Fenton. And Rick, what a quiet, unassuming guy, but boy, could he play well. And he had friends and he had connections, and he moved me into playing because of my abilities of playing it every day, 7 days a week. And during the summer, I would play, you know, double-doubleheaders, because I would play on maybe 3 or 4 teams in a year. So when team number one didn't need me, I'd go to team number two. If team number one and two didn't need me, I'd go to team number three. When 1, 2, or 3 didn't need me, I'd go to 4. So I always was playing a game, and I would practice like crazy, but it was just fun. And that discipline of doing that, and with the advent of having great, great basic fundamental coaches, fundamentals of the basics of it, you know, and they taught it to me. And then I got around, Rick would take me to play with the California Sun League. And I would play with Bobby Knopp and Gary Knopp. And Bobby was an incredible second baseman. And his brother Gary was a third baseman. They were fantastic, the Knopp brothers. And Bobby went on to become the coach for the Angels and played for a lot of big people. And played great, great baseball. He was they called him the Nureyev of baseball at the time he was playing, in the late 50s, early 60s, all the way through 66 is when he really had his push through. But I'm talking about 59, and I was catching Eddie Roebuck when I was, you know, 13 wow. years old. Okay. You know, during the California Sun League, and during the winter, it was all winter ball. That's where all the pros would go. Well, not all the pros, but you know, a lot of the dodgeball ball players and just the local ball players in the Southern California area played in this California. They call it the California Sun League, and so I was in there because of Rick. He got me in there, and so they were scouting me out. At the same time, I was doing this. My father had gotten me into music when I was really young. He played records. We'd clean the house and clean the house. My mother and father were divorced, so my father we'd help him and clean his house and go over and visit him. And he would play, you know, music, you know, Glenn Miller. He played Artie Shaw. He played Tito Puente. He would play Pres Prado. He'd play, you know, all kinds of different kinds of music. And so we would be working and cleaning the house and stuff, but we'd be dancing. My father would start dancing. We'd all start dancing, my brothers and my sisters. And we had a lot of fun together, and we were young little kids, but it made us understand music, and I really appreciated it. And I never really, I learned how to play piano on my own, but I wasn't really a piano player. I was really a performer. And that's how I was on the ball field too. I was a performer. It's a performance out there. It really is. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's a sport and you play it as a sport, but man, you're out there performing for hopefully for three or four people there in the grandstands when you're starting to, you know, you're past your father and your relatives and close friends who would come out and watch you play. But then, and then into the, like what this last year you saw in stadium at Dodger Stadium, it was jam packed almost every night, every game. So you're talking about tens of thousands of people watching you play. And that's a lot of energy. So anyway, I enjoyed the excitement of a performance. And I became a rock and roll singer because I got involved with listening to, you know, Buddy Holly. I was listening to, Richie Valens and of course, the giants of, Little Richard and all of the soul music that was out and we were listening to KFWB. That was in 1956, 54, 55, and 56 was when rock and roll hit the radio stations. And you got to remember, from going from Guy Lombardo kind of music or Pat Boone kind of music to all of a sudden rock and roll, it was a major, major thrust. And so we started getting into rock and roll, and by 1960. I was singing rock and roll with my next door neighbor, Danny Diaz. And Danny was a wonderful, very disciplined guitar player at a very young age. And he was only a couple of years older than me, but he was already playing really, really well. Him and Earth Martinez, who was another really great musician, jazz musician. They were playing right next door to me, literally the house right next door to my house. And so I learned to start singing. I would sing and they would play. And so I was really singing, but I couldn't sing, and it was okay. I mean, they played, and I tried, but I could move. I could dance, and I could move, and I could feel the music, and I'd boom it. And the same thing happened on the ball field. That's why Bobby Knopp and all those guys during that period of time, and even today, watching Trey play and watch these guys play, they're gymnasts, they're athletes, they're dancers. They used to call Bobby Nureyev because he was so unbelievable on the field. It would like flying through the air and doing incredible twists and turns and amazing. So music came with baseball through my dad, and then from music I went into singing and dancing. And then performing, and I went into start performing. When in 1960, 61, I quit baseball. I hung up my cleats, and my father flipped out. And Rick Fenton and everybody thought I'd really gone wacko. And I said, "No, man, I love baseball. It's my life. But I also love music, and I love performance. And so I started performing, and I got out of." I was playing at the Pandora's Box on the Sunset Strip back in 1961, 62. And then we went on to play at Gazzari's on the Sunset Strip. And I stayed there for 4 years, seven nights a week, while I was in college from 64 to 68. And then I went to the Factory where I played for 2 years, seven nights a week there. That was a wonderful nightclub. And so we were playing every day. Like we play baseball every day, and I knew that through discipline and patience and a lot of discipline, just doing it every day, you would get and improve yourself. And with that, that's exactly what I did. I went in from there, and in college, I took an acting class at East LA Community College. They're not known for their great thespians that have come out of East LA Community College, but I went there. In my first year as a freshman in 1964, I was in college and took an acting class, and then acting with the discipline of singing and dancing, and together, here we are in I did theater for like 14 years, and I ended up doing a play called Zoot Suit in 1978. And from that moment on, I never auditioned again. I became who I am today, and people understood who I was because it was a piece of work that really touched internationally. It was a play, and usually there was only, they considered it to be one of the three most definitive characters to arise on the American stage when I did the play that I did, and I did this character called El Pachuco and Zoot Suit. And the other two characters was Willie Loman from Death of a Salesman and Stanley Kowalski from A Streetcar Named Desire, and El Pachuco from Zoot Suit are the three most definitive American characters to arise on the American stage in that time and period. And I was, you know, I was doing this character, and people came from all over the world to see it, the performance, and I did it for years. And with that, like I said, I went on to do, you know, Blade Runner, and then, you know, Miami Vice, and all of these other characters that I did, and the Ballad of Gregorio Cortez, and the list goes on now.
Just real fast, there, Eddie. I just want to say that Zoot Suit, your performance in that, we studied that in college in the Mike Kerb School of Communication Theory. That was on the curriculum.
And you know what? You've taken me back through a lot of stuff that I remember growing up as a kid, listening to my transistor radio back in the mid '50s, and that was a special time in my growing up process too. And I understand, you know, the link that you have between music and athletics, because it is about performance and dedication and everything else that goes with it. And certainly that's a great start to where we want to keep and continue to go. We're going to take another break and be back with Edward James Olmos right after this message.
IBM will become the official global partner of UFC, the world's premier mixed martial arts organization. Together, IBM and UFC are pioneering a product to revolutionize analytics and information in live sports. This includes unique insights and advanced analysis of live bouts, fighter tendencies, projections of possible outcomes, and method of victory, all of which will be engineered to update in real-time on-screen data. This partnership marks a pivotal win, not only for UFC and IBM, but also for fans around the world who will experience the sport in a whole new way. Sponsored by IBM.
Flex Premium Athleisure is softness that plays hard. From the couch to the gym to the office and beyond, Flex gives you premium comfort and style that keeps up with anything without costing everything. Whether you're chasing the ball or chasing the kids, life's a workout. Flex with it. Exclusively at Kohl's. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers. The Dodgers.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend and champion Ron Say. And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, 1998. Kevin Brown signs a 7-year deal with the Dodgers, becoming baseball's first $100 million man. Oh, how times have changed. The right-handed free agent who posted an 18-7 record his last season with the Padres is the first major leaguer to earn an average salary of $15 million per season, and I think the last guy on the bench makes that now.
That's pretty appropriate. Well said. And when you look at Kevin Brown's career, you will probably say that he was, you know, a pretty good major league pitcher. But this time with the Dodgers being paid $15 million a year, being the first $100 million player, didn't work out too well.
No, not at all. And we're so thrilled and honored to have our special guest, Edward James Olmos. And we talked about, you know, Zoot Suit and how I studied that in college. But you first gained my attention, Mr. Olmos, Miami Vice. And that was the beginning, I think, the precursor to what we have now is considered prestige TV. What was that experience like, and how was it working with Michael Mann?
Working with Michael was extremely a great experience. He's a very strong and very decisive filmmaker. I saw his first film, Thief, which made me want to work with him. And when he called me, it was a really interesting journey to get on that show because I didn't want to do it. I was busy doing at the time The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez, which if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you see that movie. It's been hailed as the most authentic Western ever made in the history of film in the world. It's called The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez. It's on Criterion Films right now. They exhibit it. They have the distribution rights, and I think they have their own channel. But I was doing that and walking around the country carrying the tin cans and showing the movie for free because we couldn't get it distributed. Then we got it distributed. But I was doing that when Michael Mann called me and asked me to do the show. And at that time, I wasn't doing I had done TV at the very beginning of my career, but at that time I was doing films and I had just finished doing Zoot Suit, the movie, and had done before that. Like I said, I did The Ballad, and The Ballad was the most important piece of work that I've done to date, just about. And so when Michael called me, I said, no, I can't do it. And he says, oh, wait a minute, man, I really need your help. And I need you in front of the camera tomorrow. And I said, oh my God. I said, I don't know what trouble you got into, but man, how can you go be calling me in the afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and ask me to be on camera tomorrow in a leading role? I said, what happened? Because I didn't even know what the movie was about. I didn't know anything about Miami Vice. None of us had seen it. Nobody knew what it was about. But just the title made me know that it was a pretty commercial kind of vehicle. And it was at this time in my life, I had done Blade Runner. I had done Zoot Suit. I had done Wolfen with Michael Whatley. And with Albert Finney, and I had done, and I was just about to do, I was walking around with The Ballad, and so I was trying to do Stand and Deliver. And so I was trying to do that. And so Michael says, I need you. I said, Michael, I can't do it, man. I wish I could, but I can't. I mean, you know, first of all, I can't sign an exclusive contract with NBC. I can't. I told Steve Bochco the same thing when they asked me to do Hill Street Blues. I said, I can't sign an exclusive contract because I'm doing work that won't be done unless I do it. No one would, you know, Zoot Suit was, you know, Blade Runner. All you have to do is watch the parts and you see that I pretty much, you know, really lived those roles in a way that it helped the production in a big way. So definitely like Zoot Suit and all that. But I said, no, I can't. I can't. I got to do the work that I'm doing, and I got work that I'm trying to do, and thank you very much. And I hung up the phone, and he called back, and he raised the money. And I said, oh, man, Michael. I said, you know, I wish I could, but I can't sign a non-exclusive an exclusive contract with NBC. And plus, Michael, I need creative control of my characters. And I know that you have your own way of doing your work, as I do. And the reason that the characters coming out in the work that I'm doing is because I do have creative control. And that doesn't mean I don't listen to other people. That doesn't mean that I don't take advice. That doesn't mean, but when it comes down to the final decision of what I'm doing, when I'm doing the work that I'm doing, I have creative control. And he says, oh, man. And I said, okay, thanks, Michael. See you later. And I hung up. He called me back about 10 minutes later. So this is the third call. Boom. He ends up saying to me, you raised the money. So now, you know, we're going into this world, like the Soto world and the Ohtani world of getting, you know, they were offering me more money than my father had made in his entire lifetime of working.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not a rich man. I was driving a Volkswagen. I had a 69 Volkswagen. And, you know, I was, you know, and this was 1984. Okay. So it wasn't like I was spending money. I had lots of money. It just that I was doing the work that I needed to be doing and creating the work that needed to be created. And so I said, I'm sorry, man, I will not sign an exclusive contract with NBC, and I need creative control, Mikey. And, you know, thank you very much. And I know that's really hard for you. It's hard for NBC, but I can't do it. Thank you so much for the amount of money that you're trying to offer me. I really appreciate it. I hung up the phone. I was sick. I said, oh, man, what am I doing with myself? This is crazy. Calls up, man, one more time. He calls up the fourth time. He says, you got it, Eddie. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you got a non-exclusive contract with NBC. You got to give us a 60-day release notice, but you got to come back. I go, oh, 60 days. That's 2 months. 2 months advance. Notice that I got to go do something. That's not bad. I get to go off and do it, but I got to come back. That's not bad. And then he says, and you have creative control. And I said, oh, man. I said, Michael, and I'll take the last offer you gave me.
Well, you drive a hard bargain, Eddie.
Yeah, what a negotiator.
Well, and it was done in a matter of within an hour. I had to get on the flight that night, and I was in front of camera. By 5:30 in the morning, I was in Miami, and I went straight to the trailer where I had to get into my costume, and I had to tell it was funny. I had to tell the wardrobe people what I needed. They called up for my sizes, and I said, okay, I'm a regular 44. I'm 32, 31, 15 and a half inch neck. And all that stuff, you know, and I said, but I want my suit to be black, and I want to wear wrestling shoes. And the lady who is very, you know, she was, because you know that show was built on style, she goes, no, don't worry about a thing. We'll dress you. You don't worry about a thing. I said, no, wait. I really need to do this. I'm going to need a black suit, just one. If you go into my closet, Lieutenant Castillo would have nothing but black suits. And he'd have like four pairs of wrestling shoes, all black. And he'd have black ties, little ones, thin ones. And you can put any color shirt you want to underneath, but just make sure it's a short sleeve shirt because it's Miami. Exactly. And I don't want to be wearing long sleeve shirts and a coat in the middle of summer or winter, even. It's so hot over there. So they dress me. They dressed me in that. I got off the plane and I went straight to work, and it was crazy. And that I literally designed that character from the time I got off the telephone to the time I walked on stage and got my first thing I did with them. And boy, that was a hell of a story. One day I'll tell you that story.
Well, you know what? I would say that Lieutenant Marty Castillo worked out pretty good for you, didn't it?
Yeah, got yourself an Eddie.
Oh, my God.
And Jaime Escalante, too, and Stand and Deliver. What an incredible group of people that you got to perform. You stood by your guns. You got what you needed. You got what you wanted. You've done – we're going to be wrapping up here in a couple minutes. I can't believe that it's gone as fast as it has, and it's an incredible story that you've got to tell, and I do want to hear more about it. But you've spent time in film. Do you have a preference?
People ask me that, and I says it's like the difference between playing an electric guitar and an acoustic guitar. They're both guitars, but the touch is different.
Mm-hmm.
The touch of theater versus the touch of television and motion picture are different. And when you're doing storytelling, you have to realize what touch you use in whatever position you're in, because guitar players know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's really pretty simple. It's that simple. And but I love both mediums. I stayed after I finished Zoot Suit. I've done theater, but not as often as I've done everything else, because the amount of people that you touch with the storytelling on film and television is much stronger and reaches a lot further, lasts the test of time. And so I'm very grateful that I've been able to give the opportunity of doing theater and motion pictures and television, but I really do appreciate the audiovisual event.
We have about 2 minutes left before we have to say goodbye, but I want to see, do you have a favorite role that you played?
You know, it's like asking me which one of my six kids do I like the most. It's a really difficult choice.
You're lucky you have choices.
It really is, because it's lucky I got six kids. Yeah. I think that if I had to say, Stan and Deliver, Jaime Escalante is a tremendous, tremendous human being that deserved what we did and deserved the understanding. That movie, Stan and Deliver, is the most viewed film of any film ever made in the United States of America, more than E.T., Star Wars, Jaws, you name it. Close Encounter, whatever movie you want to put up there, it would be gone with the wind like about 15 years ago. And I said, well, how's this, what are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, because more than, you know, that movie has been out for over 40, almost 40 something years now. And you got to realize that teachers all over America use it every year.
Yeah.
And so tens of thousands of teachers show that movie every year to millions of kids every year. And I said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's like, there's no movie that they use in school as much as they use that one.
We watched it, seventh grade.
There you go. That's where most people saw it. They saw it in school.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to wrap up, Eddie, and I want to thank you so much. Let's hope that Stand and Deliver movie gets to be played for, you know, as long as another 50 years, if necessary. it was an incredibly gifted movie performance. We want to thank you so much. I'm going to let you go, but I do want to have you back at some point in time. We've got so much more to talk about. What a pleasure it was to have you, Eddie, and I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Ron. It's a pleasure, and thank you, Mike.
Okay, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. The great Edward James Olmos, thanks for joining us, and we'll be right back. We'll see about that right after this. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers. But the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Can't be just fine.
Hey, Say, how you doing it?
One game at a time.
And we are back, the dulcet tones of the legend Ron Say. Quite a singing voice. Beautiful singing voice, don't you think, fellas?
I like it.
Yeah, I didn't know he had that.
I'm surprised that it never went gold. Perhaps he's got some spare copies laid by in his garage. He'd be willing to sign if you check him out on Instagram at The Real Ron Say or go to his website, theronsayshow.com, and dip into our complete archives. Anything else you guys want to talk about football related? What about the MVP race?
Well, before we get off that, I think Ron should put a QR code on his book, and you can have that as one of... come up with one of his song that song to come up as you listen to the end or the forward or something.
Well, yeah, we got to figure out the paywall behind that. I don't know who owns the publishing on that song either. You never know about these.
I'd be a little distracted to hear that when I'm trying to read.
These shady record producers out there. MVP race, you guys. What do you think?
It has to go to Lamar. He had the best season statistically, hands down, and it's better than the last two seasons he had, which he already won the most recent two MVPs. So
I know, you know, Jeremy, as a Ravens fan, you have a little
I do believe he's deserving of it, but I almost don't even want to see him have to go up there and accept another one after another loss to the Bills and the front runner along with him and Josh Allen. So, but it is what it is. Hopefully he'll give God the glory as he always does. And cause it's not about, you know, using the platform for the right reasons.
I really like the way he conducts himself.
He's humble.
Yeah, he's a humble guy. He's team first, just as Saquon Barkley's team first. So I think there's a, you know, kind of a shift going on in the cultural attitudes in NFL. You know, outside of the receivers, you never really see a Me Too guy. I think they realize that how bad that looks in the media. Okay, real fast, you guys. Favorite snacks at Super Bowl?
Oh, man. At Super Bowl,
I got to have some pizza and wings.
Pizza and wings?
Yeah, I don't have – my dad's been doing pulled pork sandwiches lately, which have been prime.
I do not remember. I was at New Orleans, and I know I ate at some point. I remember at the very end of the game, people were leaving their souvenir popcorn bins, so I had a lot of souvenir popcorn bins from Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans. I remember I ate a little bit of popcorn, but other than that, that was in my when I was still drinking days, so I remember doing shots at halftime when Beyonce was singing. That's about it.
That's about it.
Everything else is a blur. I like the pizza and wings. You do need to mix it up and have something like kind of faux healthy, maybe like a vegetable platter with some like dip or something like that. Also, you can't go wrong with a 6 foot sub. That's always kind of fun too. You guys, we're going to be monitoring all the Super Bowl activities moving forward. Of course, we're going to talk about the Pro Bowl and the NFL awards. And that's it, folks. Thanks so much for joining us here. We'll see about that with the legend Ron Say, and we'll see you guys later. Take care.